order at 6:32. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can we get a roll call, please?
A.
I'm here from the Literacy Night, but I'm in an office by myself.
Brenda?
Yes.
Hillary?
Here.
Carla?
Here.
Rita?
Used.
Rayette?
Here.
Allie?
Here.
Riviera?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Others in attendance? I see in King Cove. We have
both.
And Jacqueline?
And we also have Ms. Joy Smith's on there.
And some of my students as well. Do you need a call of those in the room?
Yes, please.
At the moment, we have Joni Newman-Bay and Tatiana Bendixson. I'm hoping that more will join us.
All right, thank you. Online?
Matt Brown, Mike Franklin, ASDP. But that's it online. And then we have Ryan Humphrey here.
Approval of an agenda.
This is Brenda. I'll make approval of the agenda as presented.
All right, thank you. Motion by Brenda. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Carla. Roll call.
Red?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Rivera?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Public comments on agenda items.
I think we had a group who wanted to talk about their graduation date.
Okay. Are they there?
Ms. Smith, are you there?
Yep, I am here. Sorry, my buttons get really small when I put it on the big projector. All right, so... Yeah, Tati and Journey with me now.
Hi.
Journey, see? Okay, so we would like to ask for our graduation date to be Friday, May 15th. We have a student who a very important part of his family will not be able to attend if it is on Wednesday. So we would like to request that Friday so that their whole family can hopefully, weather permitting, be there. Another proposal that I saw that someone else had kind of mentioned, I think it's one of the parents, was having it on Saturday. That might enable people to come from Sandpoint to King Cove and us still allow those family members to make it in. Would either like to add anything? They're both shaking their heads. Their bossy teacher has gotten in the way.
All right, thank you. Is there anybody else with public comments on agenda items?
Riviera, she's for the 15th also. I mean, for Friday. She's a senior this year.
Yes, I forgot to mention, we also have the Riviera. She is just in the other room. And way to be, Riviera.
Thank you.
If there are no other comments, we'll move to the approval of minutes for October 28th, 2025.
This is Brenda. I'll make the motion for October 28th, 2025 minutes.
This is Hillary. I'll second.
Roll call.
Carla.
Yes.
Rivera.
Yes.
Amy.
Yes.
Brad.
Yes.
Allie.
Yes.
Hillary.
Yes.
Brenda.
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. Thank you. first under student reports is student representative Rivera.
Okay, Ms. Smith is doing laser cut holiday displays, which started on November 1st and they're ongoing. On November 2nd to 7th, AMSEA came to King Cove and taught K-12 life skills. November 7th, the volleyball girls played at Sandpoint, and Sandpoint's wrestling team competed against King Cove, Accutown, and Falls Pass in King Cove. On November 13th, Tati Rivera and Jeremy and Grayson attended wildlife conferences in Anchorage. Mr. Majestic's archery class had an archery competition which started on the 14th and ended on the 20th. New class offerings for spring semester handed out on the 18th. Littering the North is participating in an elder mentorship program which started on November 17th and ending the 21st. 4th and 6th grade held a parent luncheon on the 21st for Thanksgiving. Sandpoint attended volleyball regionals in Dillingham, and games went from November 20th to 22nd, and on November 27th, the freshmen are selling desserts for Thanksgiving.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Are there any questions for Rivera? Do we want to move right into the YLI report?
That came from Sylvana. There may not be that.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, that
got okay, me. So that report's in the packet. Okay, and board report. I guess I can go first. So I attended the school board conference, and it was actually a really good conference. I attended the board president's workshop, which helped give guidance on running meetings and like what my roles and responsibilities are. And then also I did go to the effective meetings ones, and so that just gave me just a little bit more of a reminder of like how to effectively run a meeting and to keep things moving, and where we're like what we're allowed to comment on and what we're not allowed to comment on, and which might be confusing because like during our we have this conversation for graduation, but technically, we can't have a discussion during public comments. It's a time for the public to comment, and then the discussion can happen in the agenda. So if you're confused why we're not talking about it yet, and that's part of why, they did a lot of stuff with career pathways, and I know the youth were involved in that too, and I thought that was really good for them. They did a little tour of UAA and had games and pizza one night. Gosh, it was busy. It was pretty filled Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I'm sure Hillary has more parts, and Brenda also to report on. Brenda, raising your hand.
Thank you to the school district for allowing me to go to Association of Alaska School Boards annual meeting. It was awesome. I did resolutions. We had a large section talking about productivity and personnel. And it was really interesting. There were so many things that were being presented in resolutions this year that could happen anywhere. Many of the disasters that have happened up in Western Alaska could happen anywhere. And how do we create a safe space for students if you have a disaster in your building? And so they had a lot of resolutions about that, how to make sure we have enough ability to put teacher housing, to make sure they have electricity. The school may have electricity, but maybe the teacher housing doesn't. So one of those resolutions was really supported by many people through the whole region of Alaska was supported. So it was incredible. Some of the breakout sessions were things I'd never heard before. There was also a really good breakout session about fentanyl and the different xylazines and the different things that are in it now and what can happen. And so that was pretty interesting. I think that would be an awesome addition to bring out to our schools. They'll bring out water bottles, all kinds of doodads to give away. So it was incredible fun right up till the end. We had still fighting for resolutions when I was the last one left with a bunch of people. But it turned out really well, and I was really happy. It seemed like it was a good place to have the meetings, and I think they'll have them there again next year, so that'll be awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Brenda. One of the things I forgot to point out is the conversations that the youth had, and then they brought it to us, and showing where like they feel our district strong, and then other areas where we could use improvement, and culture in the schools was big topics. So I think that, you know, moving forward, having more discussions on what that could look like to integrate more culture and community into our schools. And the roundtables were really interesting when the students and the board members speak to one another, and you're sitting with people who aren't from your district, and a lot of what's happening in our district is happening in other districts is what you end up learning. And those were probably the best parts of like just being able to interact with the youth during that time is a lot of fun. Hillary?
I was going to go
okay.
back.
Okay. Hello?
I was going to go back and get their vision statement that they'd had, that they had on the wall. But when I went back, it was already torn down. They had a vision statement. They wanted to add district-wide cultural classes. They have goals to have older generations pass down knowledge and history of our culture, finding a teacher, dance, language, drawing, history. Some activities they want are to have a local one-on-one speaker about the culture, bring resolutions to OSOG. Some of their obstacles is there's not enough funding, scheduling, their resources, they had elders, and then the Unangan Tunu app. And their community name was King Cove Sandpoint School, Aleutians Eastboro School District. We want our youth in our community to be safe, to be able to think. Schools are important. They want better cultural expression, peers going to school, more questions, more elder involvement, positive affirmations, our native language, a good example, things they've heard, involvement, they're proud of their culture, excited to go to school, they're supported, comfortable. We want adults in our community to know, oh dear, I couldn't read it. They have strengths, they're proud of their culture, they hear positive affirmations, their school is safe, annual culture camps, and a student voice. That's their strengths. Their challenges are school attendance, funding, leaders, cultural class, and lack of staff. Funding is a big one. So that's coming from our students expressing what they feel are things that we need in our school more. Okay, I'm done. Thank you.
Thanks, Brenda. Okay, Hillary.
Okay, I'd like to thank everyone for allowing us to attend the conference. It was a very good conference. I mean, we originally were supposed to go to the Egan Center. AASB had just a little over 2 weeks to switch it because they were housing people there. Sorry. And then they got it to the Denina Center, which was, I liked the Denina Center. It was very nice. One moment. Hey, sorry about that. My throat got funny. And then, but they had it all put together within 2.5 weeks. They switched it from the Egan Center to the Denina Center, and they did an excellent job. And then I'd like to thank Savannah Brandel for taking her time, her, you know, volunteering and being a chaperone for our students. We had Riviera, Jeremy, Tati, and Grayson there, and they did an excellent job of participating at the conference. And then also I'd like to talk about is the roundtables. The roundtables is one of my favorite things at the conference, and to sit with the students and listen to what they would like to see us do in their schools. And I sat with a group of students. I had one student from Nome, I had one student from Shivak, and I had one student from Bering Strait School District. And then Savannah sat in with me, and then myself, and then I had a board member from Shivak, and then I had a chaperone and a school teacher from Shivak. And then also, like Nome, their main concern was listen to the students so they know they have a voice. Chivak, they want more communication between students and the board. Bering Strait School District, more communication with student council, and more information on anti-bullying and fundraising. So Nome student said that their low teacher support, sometimes teachers don't stay through the whole year, and their teachers are like a revolving door. They don't have tenure. They have some, but she said the students are to the point now where they don't even want to form a relationship with their teacher because they just say, they're just going to leave next year anyway. Bering Strait School District, he was talking about attendance and grades. He said there was a lot of students in his school that don't care about school, don't care about their grades, and their attendance is really poor. And his suggestion is maybe in the mornings open up the weight room so students will come and want to go and, you know, lift weights, and it will encourage them to come to school. He said right now their weight room is used for a storage room. T-back, he said kids talking bad to each other, and he said there's a lot of bullying in his class, and he said it starts from fifth grade all the way up to high school. And he said it, you know, he was to the point to where he didn't even care about school either. Then he got one of the teacher, the elementary teacher, he got him involved in student council, and he said that changed his whole outcome of school. And then we had a youth panel that came up and spoke to all the board members, and they put together everything that they discussed in YLI, what they wanted. The first one, as youth, we want to take part in our education. They want us to listen to the youth. They want us to form a partnership with the youth and the board. And then the next student said, we want you to start teaching for the future, not the past. We need to meet our students where they are at now. Another student said, students would like to share their thoughts with the board. Some won't come out and say it, so ask the students, support the students as leaders. The next student said, important to listen to the students. Most students are afraid to speak because they are worried they'd make a mistake. They just want you as a board and as teachers and admins to make them feel welcomed. The next student said, stay aware of current trends. Everyone is unique and everything is changing fast. So be aware of that. The other one said, at the round tables, I had a good conversation with board members. She thanked the other students for stepping up and coming to the conference. And their motto for it, we are the voice. That's what the students came up with. And then the next one, support our students by resources and encourage student involvement to participate and strengthen our culture, classes, community elders, to teach the students to help preserve our identity. Help students with community volunteer. Invest in motivations to help students stay. Gosh, I can't even read my own handwriting. Invest in positive motivations, help students stay informed and be strong community members. And that's all from the students when they sat there and they were talking to us board members. And the one student just kept on saying over and over, he says, communication. He kept on saying, he said, that is the biggest thing. He said, we need to communicate with them so they understand. And he said, they don't have a quick fix for attendance, because I asked them when we were sitting at the table, I said, what do you think we can do as board members at school districts to help the student attendance be better? And they just look at me and just shake their head. So I guess that's a big project we could work on. How could we get our students interested in going to school and being on time? And that's my report. Thanks.
Thanks, Hillary. All right, so next up is the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Madam President, distinguished board members and guests. Really thankful to be here. A great week to show our thanks, as every week is. And a lot of what we just heard shows that we got a ton to be thankful for here. I have a lot of gratitude that our board members took the time and effort to go to this training and get connected with other boards around the state. A lot of the stuff that Hillary just said, you know, is obvious. Everything from whole communities in the lower Kuskokwim being displaced. That's an extreme situation. We can just be thankful for just having our homes and a safe community here. But a lot of other great comments were made. Some of those challenges that a lot of those other schools have, everything from bullying to closed weight rooms to students not caring at all, we just don't experience here. We're really lucky that we have such great positive communities. A lot of what Rivera brought up, I want to point out, and how we have a lot to be grateful for, that in spite of our lower enrollment and sort of some staffing cuts we've had to make, you know, we had everything from AMSI coming in to do a really great safety program with the students in King Cove. We have archery programs. We got kids traveling for YLI, you know, at the same time that other kids are traveling for sports. So we just have a lot of great stuff going on right now that we should be grateful for. My entire report is in the packet. I'll just highlight a couple things. I brought this up last year that Sandpoint School was identified as a school improvement school because of one of our ATSI designations. I see this not as something to feel bad about or as a red flag. It's like all evaluation, it's an opportunity for us to reflect on our program and grow. And really, the school improvement cycle that we started going through last year, it's a 3-year cycle. So last year was year one, this is year two. It's really revealed a lot of great things. And it was is one of the big reasons why we are so focused on targeted interventions this year, because we realized that, especially with our students with disabilities, that was something we needed to improve on. And I know we're already seeing improvements because of focusing on targeted interventions. And I know that we're going to continue to see those improvements. So I'm actually really grateful for that, being forced to go through that school improvement cycle. As part of the CLSD grant that we received this year, we're able to use those funds to work with Marzano Research, which is one of two research organizations, the other being Danielson's model, that the state expects us to use for teacher evaluation models, and ours is due for a revision. So we'll be able to, grant funded, we'll be able to work directly with Marzano to revise our teacher evaluation system, which I'm really excited about doing it, making it more efficient, more relevant to our local communities. Once we have a revision ready, of course, we then share it with the teachers, with our teachers union, and then the board, so that everybody approves of it. And then we can move forward with a new improved teacher evaluation system, hopefully by the end of this year. We had some great facility updates. The Sandpoint School Major Maintenance Project, I'm going to be really honest, is going a lot slower than I was hoping for, but the work that's being done is really good. So I'm really happy with what's happening. I'm not happy with the pace at which it's happening. We're getting some new doors that are really changing how the school looks. I think it's modernizing the look of the school. The exterior is getting rebuilt. It will help make the school last another 40 years. And then we got two new boilers in Accutan this past month, which was, I'm really happy to say, was a preventative maintenance measure. One of the first since I've been here. We've kind of been playing catch up since I've been here on a lot of deferred maintenance. And that was one of the first really big projects that we didn't have to do immediately. It wasn't an emergency, but it's now, that school is ready to run for the next 20 years, run heat for the next 20 years. So really proud in that. I'm going to end here with this month's Rising Tide Educator Award. So I'm going to read this narrative, and then I'm going to ask our recipient to stand with me to receive an award and photo. This month's Rising Tide Award goes to Austin Roof, who was nominated by both students and staff this month for his contributions to Sandpoint School. Austin is known as a reliable and generous presence, someone who is always willing to help. One nomination described him as very reliable and noted that he is deeply involved in the community, especially in supporting our athletic teams, helping set up events, which he was doing tonight, running our literacy event tonight. Another nominator shared that Austin not only resolves technology and printer issues, but also has a heart for the community, connecting genuinely with people across all ages. He wears many hats. That's an understatement. I think he's got more titles than anybody in the entire district. He's a leader in our church, the radio station. He's the IT specialist. He's a father, a great colleague, a coach, and leads the students on many trips. He's also, and he carries each role with warmth and sincerity. In addition to his school-based contributions, Austin now serves as the district's testing coordinator for the entire district and the director of instruction and technology, which are becoming more and more intertwined. He continually takes on new responsibilities, embraces challenges, and models what it means to be a lifelong learner. His service-oriented mindset and commitment to lifting others make him deserving of this month's Rising Tide Award. So, Austin, if you could step forward, and we have a
but front of the Alaska.
You got it.
We want flag.
Congratulations, Austin. Keep yourself warm out there.
Covered his head.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for everything you do for the district.
Congratulations.
And I'd be
congratulations,
happy to
Austin.
Questions.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Are there any questions? Superintendent's report. All right, congratulations, Austin. Thank you for your report. Next is district correspondence, and first in our packet is King Cove.
Hello. Congratulations, Austin. We're glad for your help, too. I want to just summarize what I have in my report, which is that King Cove continues to flourish as a place built on partnerships and a deep sense of community, strengthened especially by our relationships with families. We are truly grateful for the parents who play such an essential role in student success here at our school, helping our children arrive rested, prepared to learn, and ready to be kind and generous to each other every single day. This home-to-school partnership is essential for us to do our best work here at school, and so we thank you for your contributions that way to the families. In November, students engaged in meaningful, practical learning thanks to the generosity and support of our community partners. We extend our sincere thanks to the Aleut Foundation for our sponsoring AMC's Marine Safety Training and to Chiefs Chris Babcock and Eric Sywick for educating us during Red Ribbon Week alongside our drug dog, Griff, also in attendance. We're proud of our students who represented King Cove at OSOG and YOI, which helps elevate rural student voices across Alaska and empowers our students to become the voters and the taxpayers that we are raising to be responsible and thoughtful people. So we encourage that kind of leadership in our communities. Our fall traditions are awesome here. We went through door decorating, the Halloween carnival, the parade of costumes, and on Friday, tomorrow, one of the favorite events of the season, the family involvement breakfast, or known as the father involvement breakfast, is going to happen, which means we'll probably be popping fuses left and right, which is what we did last year when all the griddles and cookers and all the things are plugged in all up and down the school. But it's a super great event, and I really appreciate the work that both our elementary teachers and Head Start has done to help put all this together. It'll be great to see all of the people, parents and friends, coming together to make that a really special day for our students. So these kinds of moments remind us how lucky we are to be in a community that shows support for each other and a community that supports the schools in such a variety of ways. Throughout the month, students continue to shine through athletics, classroom projects, and Veterans Day tributes. A high point was hosting the district-wide wrestling meet here. That was awesome. We're also appreciative of the support of this school board, the leadership of Superintendent Franklin, the patient and knowledgeable assistance from Sherilyn Lundgren and Cheryl Roof for the district office, and the timely informed guidance from Austin and Amy Eubank. Above all, we here have a great dedicated staff, and we so enjoy seeing students walk through the door. Some more ready to learn and greet the morning than others, but all here ready to participate and connect with the people here in the building. So together, our shared efforts continue to create a safe and supportive and inspiring environment that we all hope to thrive in. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Could I add that She's going to be 29 tomorrow. It's her birthday.
That's right. That's right. It'll be a big day. A family involvement breakfast for my birthday. I can't wait.
It'll be a birthday.
Thank you.
I'll have to come up and visit you.
Only if you make cake.
All right. Thank you for your report. There are no questions. False pass.
Good evening, everyone. Reports in the packet. Couple key items to highlight. First is that we have monthly parent meetings It's really important to us to get feedback from the parents, have consistent communication with them, share highlights and successes from the school, and try to make it as parent and community centered as possible. Secondly, a big theme recently has been the APICTA grant. So Nikki Hoblett, the mayor, and I have been working hard along with all the input from the parents to put in the APICTA application. So what we're planning on doing in terms of the APICTA grant is first AMSI, and so thankful for Karen and King Cove to share AMSI with us. So that's going to be a big success, a big highlight for us in the spring. We'll bring them down for a week. And we're also bringing in a professor from UAF. He works in the College of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences. So he's going to be facilitating various hands-on activities and projects. And we're looking to potentially have him visit maybe other schools in the district as a possibility as well. So that's exciting for us. Christmas program for the school here in the near future. We've got kids practicing 3 Christmas songs in English as well as 3 Christmas songs in Russian. Instruction-wise, 2 programs that we really appreciate from the district and utilize daily are iReady and Amplify. They provide individualized instruction for the students and supporting their individual learning needs. So that's big, especially, you know, in False Pass, we're a small school and have blended grades. So yeah, iReady and Amplify is something that we use every day, and we're seeing great success from that to support the students. And last thing I'll report is that I think the building has come a long way as far as custodial, organization, maintenance. As Mike saw when he came last year, there's been a ton of decluttering and organizations. So yeah, our building looks great, and lots of improvements in the different rooms as far as the maintenance and custodial part. But we're looking to have a strong start or a strong finish for the rest of the semester. That's all I got. Does anyone have any questions?
Thank you for your report. Were there any questions? Hearing none, next up is Sandpoint.
Good evening, members of the board. Yes, thank you for let me speak tonight. Yeah, so basically, you know, at Sandpoint, I just think we are thriving right now with our staff members really doing a lot for the students. That's great. I'm specifically mentioning the interventions that we're doing for students. So those have been mentioned a couple times this evening. We have a first period math intervention, Austin here. One of the other things he's doing is to kind of work with those kids that just need a little extra assistance with math. And then we're working on expanding the one we already have, 6th period with Danielle Carlson. She has one focused on many different things, specifically English language arts, but we're trying to expand that going into second semester to give more kids an opportunity to take part in that. Take a little schedule changing, probably is going to have to happen, but we're working on that. So those are the kind of things we're doing. And what I really like about those is all of those have been driven by staff members coming to me. These are not my ideas. They're just coming to me and saying, hey, these are things we think we could help kids. So with Austin and then Danielle and Amy Eubank, of course, being part of that. So it's really good that we have these boots on the ground that are coming up with these ideas to help students that need it. They're very valuable and working well. We're seeing good results. And then we were also, on another note, we had Derek Bork, who came in and spoke to our students. He is a former athlete from Anchorage. He had a lot of college scholarship opportunity, and then he went down a bad path, but now he is back on track, and he came to speak to our students. It was pretty valuable. He spoke to them as a big group, and then individually, well, not individually, but then smaller groups met with them, and it was really valuable. The students really heard his message. I mean, it was good coming from a guy that was, again, a former athlete. A lot of the kids really resonated with his message, so that was great. So those things have been happening. And then upcoming, we have, did someone say something? Upcoming, we do have on December 2nd, we'll have our spelling bee. Karen Walls is organizing that. Don't have a time yet, but as soon as I know that, I'll put that out. December 10th will be our Christmas program. Kids will be singing some songs. That'll be at 6 o'clock in the gym. We'll not be able to use the stage this year, so the students will be on the floor, which it could be a good thing. And then on December 12th, that Friday, we will have our, I think, our first annual Sandpoint Day of Christmas, where the students will get to take part in Christmas-type activities all through the day, and I think it'll be fun for staff and students. And, of course, the 19th will be the last day before Christmas break. And, so that's kind of highlights, along with my report in the packet. So I'll be happy to take any questions. Oh, and by the way, our volleyball team is going to state. Can't forget that. They leave Monday. They go to state, and they won the Dillingham Regional. And, so we're going to make a good run there in at Diamond High School.
All right. Thank you for your report. Are there any questions? All right. Thank you, Aki-chan. Karen on?
She's not on.
No, she's not on. Okay. Karen's report is in the packet. And then next up is the business manager's report.
It did come on.
Yes, I happen to be here. Let me grab this up here. I too want to recognize and congratulate Austin for his much deserved recognition. Austin was super helpful and patient in getting me set up in the system this summer. You know, he was easy to approach and very available all the time. And I really had successful resolution to any issues I brought to him. So I want to thank him for that. I do want to apologize a little bit up front. I've had kind of an unexpected turn of events today. So I'm not in my office at the moment. And I don't have the written report in front of me. But I do have a few items that I can touch on for you. The financial report in your packet is actually booked through October 31. It gives you all the details through that point in time. The audit report update, the audit itself is finalized with the exception of the federal single audit component that we discussed last month during the board meeting then. The report was submitted to the Department of Ed in a timely fashion. We did end the year with an unrestricted fund balance of 0.31%, great on target. I commend the previous business manager and the superintendent for their review and careful review of that and getting us to a good landing spot there. There is one deficiency that will be noted that you'll see in regards to the process of determining the distribution of payroll expenses in some of the federal grants. Honestly, as I've looked at it, on my personal opinion, it's more of a preferential deficiency of the auditing firm, as there's truly no misstatement in the financial statements or anything else. There's no error in the financial practices. It truly is the auditors wanting to see a different documentation process for determining the payroll expenses in the grants. The superintendent and I have discussed it, and we recognize that there's always, you know, room for improvement. And we did provide a corrective action plan that would address the noted issue. We do expect that the auditors will give a formal presentation at the next board meeting or whenever the board is ready to take that. As I said, the report itself has already been filed with the department, so it is noted as in compliance in that component. So the report would just be for your information and is an important thing for you to get a part of for sure. The fund balance report, there was a fund balance report that was put into play in regards to House Bill 53 when the moratorium of the 10% fund balance limit was put into place during COVID. Our understanding is that this is the last time that this report will be required. Hoping that that'll be the case, there may be one more time that they request it this year, but because that moratorium is lifting this year, there won't be any need after this year. So we're glad to, I'm really glad to see that one go away. It was kind of a pickle. I also want to mention at the board meeting last month, there was a request to include the student activity summary that had been in the reports in previously from previous from the previous business manager. You will notice that that report is put in the back of the financial packet. The report's going to look different than what you've seen in the past, but it is, I think if you look at it carefully, you will recognize that it has all of the exact same information that you're used to getting. It will look a little different, but it isn't, in the past, this information has been drawn out of the accounting system and manually put into the spreadsheet that generated the presentation. So I'm hoping to, you know, just kind of streamline that, not have to go through a manual process. And again, I think if you look carefully at it, you'll recognize that all of the same information is there. You know, if they have concerns, please do let me or the superintendent know, and we can certainly visit with you and either help you to understand how to read the report or address any concerns that you might have moving forward. I was wanting to introduce a couple of ladies who work with me. I have great respect and appreciation for Lynn Lewis and Michael Anna Dela Cruz. I thought maybe on this evening. They were ready to step in my stead this evening, and I was able to get online, so they weren't needed to do so. But I did want to at least acknowledge them and let you know that there are additional staff members who are working on, you know, in regards to Aleutians, these are strong, capable professional ladies, and I have a lot of respect for them. So I just wanted you to know that if you happen to see their faces jump in the future. So Lynn and Michael Ann and I really do wish you all a really happy Thanksgiving and great holiday season coming up, and can't believe that we're already here in the year, but here we go. So happy to address any concerns or issues you might have.
Thank you, Lisa. Are there any questions on the financial report?
No, it looks good. And thank you for putting the student there.
Yes.
All of their amounts on there. That's really helpful. Thank you.
Good. You betcha.
If there are no questions, I'd entertain a motion to accept the current financial report as presented.
I move to accept the financial report as presented.
Mrs. Brenda, I'll second.
Roll call.
Rivera?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is the activities report.
Hello again. Reports in the packet. First, we just want to congratulate both Sandpoint and King Cove Volleyball on having amazing seasons. We appreciate the great coaching by Michael and Alicia. So in terms of volleyball, as Mr. Humphrey said, congratulations to the Sandpoint Eagles, Southwest Volleyball Regional Champs. All tourney was Maya and Precious, so that's awesome. And I want to highlight all the students on the team. Charlotte, Precious, Iris, Maya, Laureen, Kaylee, Aisha, Whitney, Haley, and Willow. So congratulations to the Sandpoint team, and we're going to be rooting for them at the state tournament. Alicia talked about her season, all the successes with her team. She talked about how her volleyball players had great attendance and dedication throughout the season, and that they set a strong foundation for the future of the rookies volleyball. She talked about team morale, staying high throughout the season, lots of hard work, lots of improvement. The girls and her were very proud to earn a spot in the gold bracket at Lumen Christi, which was a big accomplishment for the team. And state volleyball dates are December 4th to December 6th. Wrestling regionals dates, December 13th at Dillingham. Got some awesome news from Jacob, who's been doing a great job with his wrestlers at Accutane. Jacob talked about how it's been a big win and success for the Accutane wrestling team. You know, it's the first year they've got wrestling going. Students have worked very hard. They're motivated to improve and succeed. Behind the scenes, he said the community of Accutane was very excited to support the team. They're working really hard to raise funds for travel to regionals. So we're going to be sending some Accutane wrestlers to regionals at Dillingham, which is very exciting. He talked about how even younger kids who aren't currently on the wrestling team, they're inspired and they want to attend practice, and they want to learn from the high schoolers. Overall, he said wrestlers are nervous for regionals, but they're excited to find out how they'll stack up against wrestlers from other regions. In False Pass, our wrestling team has grown. We started off with two, which was a 7th grader and a 10th grader. And now we have another 7th grader and a 6th grader practicing. So we've got 4 students working hard every day here in wrestling practice at False Pass. And Ray talked about how Hazel has come a long way and has shown a lot of improvement, and looking forward to her going to regionals at Dillingham. Along with the volleyball coaches, we're very grateful and appreciative of the hard work of all the wrestling coaches. So that's Bailey and Sandpoint, Looney and King Cove, Jacob and Accutane, and Ray and False Pass. And one important detail was that we did change the student activities calendar, which I'm sure you're all aware about. But we're excited about the revised calendar, and that'll be better to support the schools. So happy Thanksgiving to everyone, and I'll take any questions if you have any.
Thanks, Matt. Are there any questions? Great. Next up is Austin Technology Report.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to come here, and thank you again for the opportunity with the Rising Tide Award. I much appreciate the opportunity to serve our school district and our school. It means a lot to me, and it's nice to be able to have a positive impact. My report's in the packet, and I'd be happy to answer any questions anyone might have.
Are there any questions? Great. Thank you for your report. New business. So this is listed as an information item, and it's the graduation date. Is there any discussion from the board on the graduation date?
This is Brenda. There's been information out there for parents and students who want to comment, and the same thing here in school, in King Cove especially. I think we should honor what the parents and students would like. And I think being able to graduate on the day that they would like and be able to have their people present is utmost importance. We've got parent back here, Lynn Farr, got one of the students here, and some of the students are in with Joy Smith, and they've all expressed wanting to have it on the 15th of May.
All right, thank you. Is there any other board members who have comments that they want to add?
I forgot I got an 8th grader this year. Oh my goodness.
There is something in the packet that stayed there.
Uh,
So the statement says both the Sandpoint and King Cove senior class have requested to graduate on Friday, May 15th. Both ceremonies are currently scheduled to take place on this date. AEBSC welcomes public feedback regarding this decision. So the only public feedback, or the only feedback we've gotten is from King Cove. So, I mean, it's not a board decision, but it sounds like we know which direction it will go. So I would suggest that the superintendent gives them the permission. I don't know, if it's not our decision, it's hard to word how this is supposed to go, but I haven't heard any other feedback from anybody else community-wise that is opposed to both schools graduating on the same day, so.
It changed from that.
So you just honor the request of the parents and students and a directive to the superintendent to work forward with position that every side is okay with, Sandpoint and King Cove.
Yeah. Sounds good. That's what we'll do.
Is there anything you say about it?
It's just that I appreciate that we went through this is the proper practice to have it publicly announced, so to give people opportunity to speak, and we heard people speak, so now we can move forward.
Sounds good. Thank you. Thanks everybody for the feedback that gave it. It makes it easier when there's question or controversy to know which way that the public wants. So we appreciate the feedback. And next on the agenda is an action item. First reading of BP 5131.9, Academic Honesty.
I make a motion to put on the floor for first reading BP 5131.9, Academic Honesty.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Rivera?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Rhea?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Is there any discussion on this policy that anybody would like to discuss it? Academic, is it just one page?
Can okay. I have a comment?
Yes, please, you can add a prop comment.
So this was the one that was presented last month, but there was a request from a board member to include specific consequences within the policy. And so I've since shared my thoughts with the board. So the difference here is I've attached an AR that's associated with it. Best practice would be to not have specific consequences in a board policy, that an AR in the student handbook would be the appropriate places for those. So I've now shared those with the board. The AR is attached in the packet, and then I shared our student handbook language with the board previously this month. So this is an optional policy. Now you have those other pieces.
All right, thank you. Did everybody get a chance to read over that and is comfortable with the having it as an AR and not in the board policy? I agree. I think it makes it really hard when you put things in board policy and even harder to change it later.
Brad, I have one suggestion. When we go and we have these board policies, when we do a motion and a second, and then it's open for discussion before you take your roll call.
Yes, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that was one of the things
that I did ask about, and it goes through so fast. So, okay. Thanks, Hillary. And then C is, the AR warrant for information. Is there any discussion on that? Hearing none. Next is the second reading for 6147, the Alaska Reads Act. Your motion to put it on the table for second reading.
Motion to put it 6147 Alaska Reads Act on the table for discussion information.
I'll second. This is Hillary.
Okay. Now, is there any discussion on 6147? Okay. Did you want to give a?
Yeah, this is a required policy in response to the Alaska Reads Act from a few years ago, and there's no changes to this from the first read.
Can we get a roll call to now we'd be adopting it?
Yes, ma'am.
Since are two, are these second, like a two? This is the second reading.
After the second reading, there could be a motion.
A motion. Yeah, I don't know if you need a roll call.
Yes.
I do. Okay. Rivera?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Rhea?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
Motion carries.
And then we would need a motion to adopt 6147 Alaska Reads Act.
Make motion to adopt 6147 Alaska Reads Act intervention programs.
Second.
Roll call.
Rivera?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Rhea?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Now, second reading for BP 6148, early education programs. Motion put it on the table for discussion.
Make a motion to put on the table for the second reading BP 6148, early education programs.
This is Allie, I second.
Is there any discussion? Yes, please.
So there was one revision here that I notified the board about in an email this month. There was a section that had specific regulations which have not changed. The state changed them in September. And so the revision we're suggesting here is the final line here, which says the district's early education program must also comply with the requirements under 4AAC 60.205. And what that does is just say it will comply with the state's regulations. So then if the state were to change the regulations again, we wouldn't have to change the board policy.
All right, thank you. Any other discussion? Roll call.
Rivera?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Rhea?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Is there a motion to adopt BP 6148?
I move to adopt the BP 6148 early education programs.
This is Hillary. I'll second.
Roll call.
Hillary?
Yes.
Rivera?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
Bryant?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Second reading for BP 5124.1, School and Family Partnerships and Children's Education. Is there a motion to second reading on the table for discussion?
This is Brenda. I'll make a motion to put on the table for second reading BP 5124.1, School and Family Partnerships and Children. Holy, I just lost my breath.
Is there a second?
This is Allie. I second.
All right. Discussion and question on this.
A lot of got water.
Mr. Franklin, are you?
I'll remind everybody that this is a non-required policy, nor does it require any specific action from the board other than to dedicate our district to involve parents more, have more family engagement events, and to connect and to communicate with parents about how we're using our Title I funds.
Is there any other discussion?
Which I think is a really good thing.
Okay, roll call.
Rivera?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Reyes?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Is there a motion to adopt BP 5124.1?
I move to adopt the BP 5124.1 School and Family Partnerships and Children's Education.
I'll second it. Roll call.
Rivera?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes. Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Bryant?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. We're through all those.
Very efficient.
Those ones hang me up every time because there's too many steps in it. So next is public comments on non-agenda items. Are there any public comments on non-agenda items?
I do.
Okay.
So I just wanted to put out there our need for a special education teacher in our school. You know, we have Amy, she's, you know, she is what she is. But my last IEP meeting, my son left
there.
Hold
on. Wait. I'm not sure we can have discussion on specific staff during a public meeting.
There shouldn't be specific staff, but you can talk about
specific. I'm not talking. Okay. Just okay. Jim. Well, I will talk about my son and the IEP we got back that you cannot even read it. There's a bunch of scribbles, you can't even read it. And he comes home and he says, Mom, why would she tell me I would never read? I don't know why she feels like she needs to tell you that. You can't even read his IEP. He has to fight every day to use.
Okay.
I'm talking about my son.
No, I know you're talking about your son, but you're also discussing staff personnel, and we are not allowed to discuss staff personnel. My suggestion would be that you need to contact your principal, and if you don't
get the results, you can principal. All I hear is Bunny's mad. Let's keep her happy. And I am mad.
But we can't talk. We just can't talk about specific persons that are our staff. And I know it's about your son, but it's also about staff members. Can I request that you reach out to the superintendent personally? Or even you can reach out to the board members as well, Bunny, but during a public meeting, it just is not allowed.
Okay, I will reach out to him, but seriously consider this before you go to his evaluation. Because if he doesn't see that it's a problem, he's the problem. Just putting that out there.
And you can also reach out to your board as well, but we just can't discuss it in public.
I reached out to the board and I heard back was, she's smug. You're just going to have to deal with it. So I'm here.
Okay, thank you for your comments.
Yeah, I do.
She has a
superintendent's number.
You'll call.
Okay. Are there any other public comments?
Can I say a quick gratitude for Austin?
Yes.
I'm grateful for Austin also.
I don't know if it's the appropriate time for me as a staff member to say this. But yeah, Austin Roof is amazing. He's an awesome coach. He really is passionate for his team. And tech-wise, he's just a huge level of support for me in False Pass. You know, I'm kind of in a really isolated position. So Austin really goes above and beyond and supported me. So yeah, just he's totally well-deserved of this honor. And he's just, as everyone knows, he's such a resource and asset to the district. And yeah, I just really appreciate him. He's amazing.
All right, thank you. Are there any other comments from the public? Hearing none, board comments?
I'll start. I just want to congratulate Austin on his on the award. And then also I'd like to congratulate the Sandpoint Lady Eagles on their third regional win in a row. And then I'd like to thank all the teachers. I mean, we're halfway there. It's hard to believe the days go by so fast. And then I just want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. And I guess Merry Christmas, because it's December and our meeting's going to be after. So thanks.
Right, thanks, Hillary. Anyone else?
This is Brenda. Just to go off of what was said about Austin when he was here and watching, assisting not only with his group but also everybody else. He had the headgear if they needed it. He had the pull-up, the pads, the different things that kids needed if theirs broke or something happened. But also at the very end, when it was all over, him and the King Cove coach wrestled and the whole town was roaring. It was awesome. We haven't seen a wrestle like that in a long time. I thought they would hurt themselves or kill themselves or something. Oh, my God. But it was pretty awesome. And to see what the school year has produced already is pretty amazing, because we hear from not only our local schools, which we get to go into every day if we so choose, but to hear from the other sites and parents and kids about their excitement to go to school this year is really amazing. And I'm really thankful for all the staff that we have, all the principals we have, and the superintendent. But the board, I'd like to thank you for all your work. It's not easy at times. So we just got to keep chugging along and do what's best for our kiddos.
Thanks, Brenda. Mark, go ahead.
I'd like to congratulate Austin on the award. He very well deserves it. He works very hard for students. Also, I'd like to thank the principal and teachers for allowing Derek to come in school. I feel it was much needed after some of the previous deaths in our community. All I hear is positive things coming from the kids about him. They had a great time. He helped them understand some things about drugs. I'm sorry I missed it. I was out for other meetings.
Thank you. Allie, is there anything any board comments you have?
No.
Nope. Okay.
Oh, can I get added to the list? I didn't get any of the agendas or anything.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
We'll ensure.
I didn't realize.
We'll ensure that you get your. She'll send that to you, and then maybe you can send her the one we're just working on, and then.
I forwarded to her. The next one. I forwarded to her. So
oh, you
she
did. Okay. Thank you, Brenda.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, there must not be one.
Yep, we gotcha. Yeah, I want to reiterate what Carlos said with Derek. I hope our other schools might have the opportunity. It took some independent fundraising with our community entities to get him here, but I got a lot of positive feedback. Amy and I worked for the last month just trying to hammer out some details with him. So we also had some good feedback from adults who connected with him. A lot of our communities are affected by drug and alcohol abuse and use. And so I felt that it was a good use of our resources. I want to thank the school for allowing him to come in and work with the kids. He's very passionate working with kids, and the kids really respond well to his energy and stuff like that. I also want to thank or congratulate Austin on his award and the volleyball girls for their region win, and wish them the best of luck for state. And Amy, do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, I would just like to say thank you to Austin. He started the meeting hosting an event here. He left that meeting to go to that meeting there. He left that meeting to come clean up the event. And now he's back with you guys. So thank you, Austin, for all that. And thank you, Rayette, for teaming up and putting our ideas together with having Derek come. And I think that he will be a good constant person in our community soon. He's already ready to come back and wants to make sure it's during basketball season. So I think he wants a quick turnaround, but yeah. And congratulations to the Eagles.
Okay. I think we have everything. Agendas for Angela. Yes, Brenda?
Rivera, if she has any comments?
No. Oh, sorry, Rivera. Do you have any comments? Board comments?
No, I don't.
You know. All right. If you ever do, just speak up.
Okay.
Agenda items for next meeting.
I have administrator contracts, the legislative fly-in essay contest winners, and then Lisa said the audit might be ready, and then the superintendent evaluation, which will be executive session.
Anything else we have to add?
Where something will probably come up.
Oh, the first reading. Yeah, the second reading of BP 5131.9. Yep. And then the next meeting is
January
28th.
So are we sending anyone right to the here. To the who's all going to the Juno Lion?
The essay contest is open right now.
Okay. And
actually, then what about January 27th?
January 27th. Okay.
What about board members?
Yeah, board members will be invited as well. Yes.
When all is right. The fly-in?
February 7th, I believe.
Okay, so do we need to have a special meeting between then and now, or at least?
I don't think so. For the winners?
Or for the,
I think we'll just do it the same way as last
time. Okay.
I think that should work.
Okay, sounds good.
And then just one comment on the legislative fly-in. When we were at our conference, AASB said this is going to be a really big discussion this year in February for the legislative fly-in. We're losing, We might be losing three key players in our education that go and lobby for us and, you know, our voices there. And Lon wanted the school districts to go and have a layout of, like, what we're doing now with our schools and what we added or not added, but how we're using our extra BSA money that they brought, that they sent to us, the programs, how we run and everything. And he said that's going to be a big key point when we go and sit and talk to legislators about how each school needs, you know, more funding and to show what we're going to use it on education. So I just wanted to give Mike a heads up on that. Maybe we could get some kind of printout that the students could bring into the legislators that they sit down and have meetings with.
Yes, that would be awesome to have a bullet pointed, you know, at least a one page sheet or something on the back of it, maybe, that we could use for key points that you could hand out to either staff or the members who are there. That would be nice. Do you think you could make something like that, Mike?
Sure.
Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Adding to your big pile.
No problem.
All right. So next is executive session, the superintendent self-evaluation. Is there a motion to enter into executive session with the invite to the superintendent?
I'll make a motion to go into executive session with the invitation for Mr. Franklin to join us.
I'll second this, Brenda.
Roll call. Rivera?
Yes.
Aiden?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
Motion carries.